Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Great Inflation and Its Aftermath by journalist and longtime economic columnist Robert J. Samuelson, is an accessible work of economic history and public policy analysis. It explains how the United States moved from the relatively stable post-World War II era into the high inflation and economic turmoil of the late 1960s and 1970s, and how the eventual defeat of inflation reshaped American prosperity afterward. Samuelson treats inflation not as a purely technical problem, but as the product of political incentives, popular expectations, and influential economic ideas that promised more control over the business cycle than governments could realistically deliver. A central goal of the book is to recover what he calls a lost history, the way inflation altered voting behavior, trust in institutions, and the boundaries of what policymakers felt able to do. By tracing causes, responses, and consequences, the book aims to provide context for modern debates about central banking, government promises, and the durability of American affluence. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inflation as a political and social phenomenon, not just an economic metric. Samuelson frames the Great Inflation as a broad national experience that changed everyday life and the political climate, not merely as a rise in the consumer price index. Persistently rising prices strained household budgets, scrambled planning for businesses and workers, and contributed to a sense that the system was no longer delivering predictable improvement. In his telling, inflation also corroded trust. Citizens came to doubt official reassurances, and leaders struggled to maintain credibility when promised outcomes did not materialize. That credibility problem matters because inflation is partly about expectations. If people anticipate higher prices, they bargain and price accordingly, making the problem harder to stop. The book also emphasizes how democratic politics can magnify inflationary bias. Elected officials face pressure to prioritize growth and employment, especially in the short run, while the costs of inflation accumulate gradually and can be blamed on complex forces. Samuelson uses this lens to show why inflation persisted longer than many later observers assume it should have, and why restoring stability required more than small technical adjustments. Secondly, the role of post-war economic ideas and the temptation of fine-tuning. A major theme is the influence of mid-20th century economic thinking on policy choices. Samuelson highlights how the belief in a stable trade-off between inflation and unemployment, often associated with the Phillips curve, encouraged the view that policymakers could accept a bit more inflation to achieve lower joblessness. In practice, that bargain proved unreliable as inflation accelerated and the economy encountered periods of weak growth alongside high inflation. The book treats these ideas as historically understandable after the Great Depression and wartime mobilization. Many leaders were determined to avoid mass unemployment, and new macroeconomic tools seemed to offer control. But Samuelson argues that the confidence of this era led to overpromising and to policies that underestimated inflationary dynamics and the difficulty of reversing them once embedded. Rather than presenting economics as a simple villain, he focuses on how ideas travel through institutions and politics, shaping what leaders think is feasible. The result is a cautionary account of how attractive theories can become governing doctrine, and how doctrine can lag behind changing economic realities. Thirdly, why stopping inflation was delayed, incentives, constraints, and the Federal Reserve. Samuelson explores why decisive anti-inflation action took so long. One part of the explanation is political restraining inflation usually requires slowing demand, which can raise unemployment and provoke backlash. But another part is institutional. The Federal Reserve operates within a political environment, and its independence has been contested in practice, even when it exists in law and tradition. The book discusses how presidents and policymakers often leaned on central bankers to support growth, especially near elections, and how that pressure complicated a consistent anti-inflation stance. Samuelson also describes the problem of mixed signals. When governments attempt to fight inflation while simultaneously pursuing policies that stimulate demand, the public learns to discount official promises. Over time, credibility erodes and inflation expectations harden. By emphasizing incentives and constraints, the book moves beyond simple stories of error and instead shows a system that repeatedly chose short-term relief over long-term stability. This helps explain why inflation became entrenched and why later remedies had to be more forceful than earlier, incremental approaches. Fourthly, disinflation and Volcker restoring credibility through painful choices. The turning point in the narrative is the determined effort to break inflation, associated most strongly with Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. Samuelson portrays this episode as a test of institutional resolve and public tolerance. Bringing inflation down required very high interest rates and contributed to severe economic distress, including sharp recessions and significant job losses. In the book's logic, the pain was not incidental but tied to the need to change expectations, after years in which people anticipated continual price increases. A credible demonstration of restraint was necessary to convince households, firms, and financial markets that inflation would not be accommodated. Samuelson also connects this shift to political leadership in the early 1980s, arguing that monetary discipline gained the space to operate when the public mood had turned against inflation and when leaders were willing to endure near-term costs. The broader lesson is that credibility is earned, not declared. The disinflation story functions as both history and warning. Delayed action raises the eventual cost of correction, and restoring stability can demand unpopular measures. Lastly, the aftermath: affluence, confidence, and the return of risk. Samuelson argues that the defeat of inflation helped set the stage for a long stretch of improved stability and rising confidence about the American economy. Yet he treats the aftermath as morally and analytically complex. The period of disinflation and lower interest rates supported growth and asset values, reinforcing the belief that modern policy had tamed the old boom and bust cycle. Samuelson disputes that complacent conclusion. He contends that prosperity can breed overconfidence among investors, businesses, and ordinary households, encouraging risk, taking that as justified by recent success rather than sober assessment. In this view, the post-inflation era contained the seeds of later vulnerabilities. Even if the book is primarily centered on the inflation story, rather than offering an exhaustive account of subsequent crises, the key takeaway is that stability changes behavior, and behavior can recreate instability by linking policy credibility, financial conditions, and public psychology. Samuelson offers a framework for thinking about why affluent societies can still make choices that increase fragility, and why understanding the inflation era is relevant to modern debates about growth, debt, and financial risk. In conclusion, this book best fits readers who want an intelligible but serious account of how the United States stumbled into high inflation and how it eventually escaped. Students of economic history and public policy will benefit from the way Samuelson connects economic outcomes to governing ideas and political incentives, while general readers gain a clearer sense of why inflation felt like a national crisis rather than a background statistic. The practical value lies in its warnings about credibility and overpromising. Samuelson repeatedly shows that when leaders imply they can deliver permanent prosperity, painless growth, or a simple trade-off between jobs and prices, they invite policies that can backfire and become difficult to unwind. The book also sharpens understanding of central banking by treating the Federal Reserve's role as intertwined with politics and public expectations, not as a purely technocratic exercise, compared with more technical or model-driven histories. Samuelson stands out for narrative clarity and for giving psychological and institutional context equal weight with economics. It pairs well with broader monetary histories, but it has its own niche as a focused account of how inflation reshaped modern American affluence and the boundaries of what citizens expect from government. If you would like to support Robert J. Samuelson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.